The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو يهو بليه استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
منبر. A lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of RIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagar.
The condition of the Shia movement, which was a movement led by the Imams, a movement in the political sense, is an activity, an organized activity against the authority to overthrow an authority, a regime, and to establish a new government. That is, of course, the ultimate example and the most drastic example of change that a movement would be moving towards. But a movement can only be a movement if it's about change. If it's about keeping status quo, then it wouldn't be a movement. Movement only makes sense when you're moving away from status quo. Of course, there are many movements that identify as movements, and the only difference is the people who rule. In other words, there have been movements to overthrow regimes, overthrow governments, overthrow kings, overthrow dynasties, and the objective of that has been some form of change, but that change is not the change in status quo in terms of the ideology, in terms of oppression, in terms of anything meaningful to the masses, to the people. The only thing that is different is that the movement is about overthrowing that particular dynasty, that particular individual, to put in power someone else. The movement of the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, was not that. The movement of the Shia has not been that. The movement of the revolution, which is the continuation of the movement of the Ahlul Bayt, is not about removing the Shah from Iran and establishing rule for another person. It's about changing status quo from it being a rule that is based on whims and desires, whoever that may be, to the rule of God's law and the rule of God. That is the change that is intended. In Western governments, in non-Western governments, but Western governments today are the focal point. They are the ones that people generally look at and see and look up to in many cases. The changes that happen supposedly in a democratic way where people participate in elections, one candidate in a particular party in the U.S., the two-party system, the politicians compete with one another. They create a movement called a campaign during the campaign season to become the candidate of one of those two parties. And then they campaign against each other and against the sitting president to bring a different person in. But the policies, the direction, everything, and as we said, the essential aspect or the essential and fundamental part of that rule, which is rule based on whims, based on desires, based on interests of the person and the party and the class that are ruling and governing, that remains the same. One person goes, another person comes. The direction remains that of whatever is in the interest of the elite and those who are in power, be it the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. The movement of the Ahlul Bayt was to change that. The movement of the Ahlul Bayt is to change that, to become the rule of God. No one has the right to govern people in a way that is in the ruler's best interest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws are put in place. God has given us these laws إن أحسنتم أحسنتم لأنفسكم وإن أسأتم فلها. Those laws are given for our own benefit. If we abide by these laws, we will benefit from it. If we don't, we will be hurt. And this is about any individual that implements those laws, and on a societal level, on a global level, for all people, if people implement those laws, if governments implement divine laws and govern people's lives based on God's instructions, people will benefit. No one has the right to come forth and establish laws that are in the interest of a few, and the masses don't benefit from that materially as well as spiritually. The rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rule of Islam, the rule of the Ahlul Bayt, the rule of the representatives of the Ahlul Bayt means that the movement of the Ahlul Bayt that was there after Imam al-Mujtaba salamullah alayhi, who to the best of his ability continued to hold on to the power because God had given him that taklif, that responsibility to hold on to power based on and through means that are legitimate, not through illegitimate means like Muawiyah. He held on to the best of his ability and he was capable. However, holding on to government the correct way, the legitimate way, is for the people to want it, support it. When the people did not support any longer, then it was no longer his responsibility to continue pushing the people in the right direction, as they have refused to accept that. And if they refuse, knowing what it is, knowing that this is their leader, they reject it, the leader doesn't have any responsibilities any longer to rule. And if a ruler or leader decides to push and grab a hold and keep power in his claws, even and despite the fact that the people are not supportive, then that would not be a legitimate way of maintaining governance and authority any longer. Imam al-Mujtaba salamullah alayh, and from him onwards, the Imams worked on a public movement, a popular movement, a movement that involved giving people information, knowledge, understanding of what government is, what is right, what God has said in regards to the nation of Islam, the nation of the Prophet, what they should do, who should rule, and so on and so forth. This movement to educate people in that regard and to create a popular movement, meaning a movement that stems from Islam, that stems from the Quran, that stems from the teachings of the Prophet, that stems from the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. Getting that information to the masses, to the people, so that the people rise, بالقسط, as the Quran said in Surah Al-Hadid, لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, so that the people would rise. This is what the Ahlul Bayt worked on. Imam Al-Mujtaba worked on that. Imam Al-Husayn worked on that before Karbala. In Karbala, he started his part. He saw that it was his taklif to rise. Whether the people are ready to actually move towards overthrowing the regime or they are not. If they are, the movement will end up one way, that rise that he did, that he moved towards Mecca initially and then towards Kufa. If the people would have supported, that rise would have ended up in a different way. And if they don't support, the rise is still going to be there. And Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi had a responsibility that for the occasion of Muharram to discuss and remind ourselves and each other regarding that. Imam Zain al-Abidin continued, Imam al-Baqir salamullah alayh continued, Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayh continued, and you arrive at Imam al-Kadhim salamullah alayhi's time. he continues, and the rest of the Imams have continued. The 12th Imam is continuing with that. He is working, he is at work day in and day out in ways that we cannot see, and he knows, and we hope that we are able to see in the near future.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Halim Hakimun Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.